I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right. We got over the hump on the snow, right? Because last night my kids were looking at... Apparently there's an app that will predict whether or not your county has school or not the next day. Mm-hmm. And last night, while they were basically calling for rain with a dusting...
I can dodge bullets,
the
baby.
App last night said 40% chance of a... 2-hour delay, and I think a 20% chance of no school.
Wow.
So we're over that, right?
Yeah, they were wrong. So
pretty much all the schools, on time today?
For today, I would assume.
For this area?
I would assume.
What about those softies in Loudoun County?
Yeah, the softies are going to school on time.
They are.
I think that they're calling for maybe a dusting to an inch later today, but...
More?
Just a little bit. I mean, you might not even notice. It might just be a mix. Who knows? But... The Northeast is going to get pelted again. Can you imagine living in Massachusetts? Seriously. Can you imagine living in the coastal towns of Massachusetts where probably 5 times a year you're getting a major, major storm?
No. It would not be fun.
I mean, it would be miserable. They just had a nor'easter 24 hours ago, and they're going to get another one this weekend.
But they don't. It's like
they're gonna get 15 inches.
They're like China to me, though. I mean, whatever happens, I don't even pay attention to it.
But just picture yourself. Picture yourself living in that.
I feel
hell
hard time. I feel
every
bad
single
for
year.
Them, but
it's like, I mean, I just couldn't do it.
Like if you live in South Korea, I don't really know what's going on in your weather pattern, what's going on in your life.
Well, I mean, it's a little different. I mean, Boston's 9 hours away. South Korea's 9 days away.
I know.
I'm just saying. Just picture yourself living in that hell for a tire winter every year, where you're gonna get crushed. Year after year after year after year.
But people choose to live there.
I know.
Or they just can't. They can't move away. I don't know.
Although they are saying that there's a chance for some major storm Sunday night into Monday here. Now, I don't know if that's going to be rain or snow or a mix of it. So we're not completely out of the woods yet.
All right. Let's hit the world of Hollywood and entertainment.
Richie.
We got a story that's kind of like breaking overnight that we need to touch on. And this is sports, entertainment, everything. It's Mark Cuban. And now he's having to deny an allegation of sexual assault back in 2011. Now, what he's got going on his side, similar to the Seacrest deal, is police already investigated this back in 2011, and they didn't find enough to charge him. So I do feel sympathetic to people when there has been an investigation that's been clear. It doesn't mean 100% that they're innocent. But I think it gives them something in their favor. And this is where I stand on... a lot of these cases, not that anybody cares, but this is kind of how I kind of decide if I'm leaning towards guilty or innocent with these people. If you have multiple allegations, that's a tough one to get out of. But, you know, because I think if you're a serial, you know, sex assaulter.
Right.
There's going to be multiple. And so many of these people, the Bill Cosbys or whatever, you can name a ton of them. They have 50, you know, women that come out. I think Seacrest has one. That they can't find any evidence to support her claim. And I think Cuban, this may be... Now, if there are other women that come out, then I'm going to really say we're probably onto something here. But
although
at this
some
point...
Some
point only do it one time.
Because Trump has 16-plus accusers.
Yep. When you have multiple, you have to make your own decision on that one. I think when you have multiple, there's probably something going on. So is Clinton. So, you know, when you have multiple accusers, I think... That's when
usually
that,
where
that
there's smoke, there's fire.
That tips the scales for me. Yeah. If you have one random, and I think so far, to be fair to Seacrest, I think we know of one random accuser, and I think to be fair to Cuban, so far we know of one random. Doesn't mean they aren't true, but
what tends
when
to
the
color,
multiple starts to come out,
what tends
then you
to color
okay.
My opinion too is this, the specificity of allegations. When the allegations get very specific and are detailed, I tend to buy in.
Yeah, but details also people lie. They add
I get
detail.
It. I'm not saying that you can't lie, but I'm saying that that colors my
For me,
opinion.
It's the multiple. If there are multiple people, then I'm going to start to buy
Just reading the Seacrest thing, I tend to believe the woman in that.
So
case.
Here's the deal with Cuban. Back in 2011, the woman claimed that, I think they were out at a bar or something, and she asked for a picture, and she has multiple pictures to show that they were taking pictures. And she claims that in the picture, while they were taking the picture, he slid his hand down her pants and then down all the way down to, you know, her innards. And was,
wow.
I mean, I'm not saying she's lying, but that just sounds so unbelievable to me.
Well, here's the thing.
If I know what happens.
If you're hammered, it could maybe it could happen. I'm not going to put it past.
I get it.
I think sober, if you do that, you're just a monster.
It just takes monster balls to do that.
If you're hammered, at least I can maybe understand.
Or billions of dollars.
How well did he know her?
They just met her at a bar and taking pictures.
That's what I mean.
And he says, I take pictures of people all the time. He claims he even had a doctor that presented evidence or something to say that it would be physically impossible for a man with his large of hands to be able to penetrate in a way that she's alleging.
Man, I hope my doctor would vouch for me like that if I were ever in that weird situation.
Right.
Which is a huge if.
Let's hope you're not, Cakes.
Yeah, let's hope that
people
I'm not.
People accuse Cakes all the time.
I'm so sure.
He's such a perv.
Just wait till it comes out.
He's such a perv.
When you have to take pictures, I joked about it, but you just got to do the lean in. Don't put your arms anywhere.
No, you can put. I think you're safe, even in this climate, if you put your arm up on a shoulder. If you start creeping your hand around the
waist
area.
Like the Taylor Swift guy?
Right.
Yeah, you can't do what he did.
I told you, when I had to take that picture.
Hand up by the shoulder. That's just the move.
When I had to take that picture with Christy Winter Scott, I put my arm way right up here because she's tall.
You look like you're doing the vertical at the combine. Right. You're stretching your arm out as high as it would go.
I'm always guilty of putting my arms around people when I take a picture. I'm a nice person like that. I like to do that. But you look acting when you're all hunched over. You sacrifice your own look. I noticed Jason, he stands over with his hands behind his back like he's taking a basketball picture or something. You know,
It's weird to touch people that you really don't know. I mean,
but you're just being friendly.
He's grumpy in pictures since our first publicity shot.
Yeah.
Refuses to smile.
I don't like pictures.
He's not a smiler. if you get beers.
Pictures are annoying. And you know what else is annoying? All right, let me take another one. I'm off the cell phone.
Right.
Let me make sure. Let me take another one.
Yeah.
And then take three or four.
Right.
Well, just annoying.
Just be nice.
They just want to make sure they have one pick out of the five.
Just take one and let me go on with my life.
No. God, could you be grumpier? When you take pictures of your kids, you only take one? No, you want to take a few to make sure you got one.
Right, because I like them.
Right. They like you. If someone asks for you, you should feel gracious.
I like them. I don't necessarily like all the people that I'm taking pictures
with. Yeah, but they like you.
That's fine.
So just be nice. Be gracious over there.
All right.
Curmudgeon.
All right, move on.
Tommy Lee is in the news. God, he looks hurting in here.
How old is Tommy? Hold on, let me guess Tommy Lee's
Tommy
age.
Lee, that's a good one.
I got it.
Are we betting for dollars? Closest to? No? You don't want to bet?
No, I don't really care.
54.
Right. He's a double nickel. He's 55.
Ooh, I was going to
guess 56.
Wow. Yeah, he's 55.
What were you going to guess?
I said 54.
I wasn't talking to you, Rick.
I was going to say 49. I was way off.
Cakes,
really?
I'm not good with ages.
Clinging to his youth over there. Tommy Lee, 55. He tweeted a picture of his swollen lip, and his face looks all hurting. Ugh.
Let me see that pic.
Does he have hepatitis or something? Is that why he looks so hurt?
He looks awful.
Well, he's lived a hard life.
Too. Yeah, he's had a really hard life. He says, my fiance and I were in bed when my son busted into the room and assaulted me. I asked him to leave the house, and he knocked me unconscious. He ran away from the police. That's the truth. He actually, on the Instagram photo, said...
Brandon or Dylan?
Brandon. One of the two kids he
had with
Pam. I just
remember they were named after 90210 characters.
Right. Because you heard intellect. My heart is broken. You can give your kids everything they could ever want in their entire lives, and they could still turn against you. And he goes, thanks, good son, or something.
That's not good.
And Brandon...
Not a lot of harmony on the home front.
Brandon claims, and you got to give the kid the benefit of the doubt, his dad was hammered. Do you deny that? And that he had to defend himself.
Yeah, dad's hammered.
Wouldn't
surprise me one bit.
And it was total self-defense. Tommy Lee, of course, claims that he was
unprovoked. Even if you're not Motley Crue fans, when the movie The Dirt comes out, you're going to have to see it. It's a great book.
The Dirt?
It was written by, I think it was by Neil Strauss, the guy who did the books about peacocking.
Mm-hmm.
Former Junkies guest. It's a great book, and I'm sure it's going to be adapted to be a really good movie. Sleep a little bit.
What is it, a documentary?
It's about the wildness of Motley Crue coming up in the 80s, them forming and being part of the big hair metal movement of the early to mid-80s.
Do all those guys still have cash? Or have they run out?
I would guess they probably are doing pretty well.
They made so much tour.
I mean, they toured forever.
So much money
But they did sign a document that said they will never tour again.
as
because they did
Motley
the whole
Crue.
Farewell thing, and right. they've seen a million people do farewell tours and then come back and do another tour. So they basically signed paperwork that said, this is it. Can't tour again.
Can't they? I mean, that's a good bit, but can't they just light it on fire and go tour again?
I mean, I guess they could. I don't know.
Doesn't everybody do that?
Can't
Everyone's
you just
doing
let
a farewell
me live with my Motley Crue memories the way they are?
Ryan Seacrest's coverage of the Academy Awards red carpet arrivals, his coverage was down 43% in the ratings.
Didn't he only snag four people?
Oh, I think he had more than that. He may have only had four nominees.
Yes.
Got you.
Okay. Most
but a lot of people
but
bypassed
he had some,
him.
He had some old fart. Like, he had Rita Moreno. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the numbers.
He had Mary J. Blige. Like, she apparently
well, she
had
was
a big moment.
Well,
I don't know why.
She was nominated. Yeah.
She was nominated, yeah.
For Mudbound.
Yes.
That sounds like a whole different thing.
What was Mudbound about?
I don't know.
I think it was about a white and a black family coexisting after like the Civil War in the Mississippi Delta.
Good call.
Mm.
Sounds good.
Valdez, you did not send me the pictures of our girl Paige Spiranak.
This is Matt Valdez.
And apparently she is starring in the world's first bikini golf trick shot video. How come we don't have the pictures of the video?
I couldn't find the stills. You have to go on the website to click on
it. Now, she poses and posts hot pictures of herself in tight outfits playing golf and doing trick shots all the time. This time, she's just straight up in a bikini.
Yes.
Now, is this with Sports Illustrated, or is she just doing this on her own?
It's on her own.
Right.
My
right.
trick shot is hitting the green on a par three. It's my version of a trick
it's
shot.
It's very tricky.
It's hard.
Watch Cakes' shot not get in the air.
It's hard. It's difficult.
And that's on your fifth shot.
Could be.
All right, this is unbelievable. This
Watch Cakes' pickup.
That's reteen twice.
Okay, Valdez, this has to be unconstitutional. There's a Rhode Island bill that lawmakers have introduced that would charge porn viewers an extra $20 a month to unblock the internet.
That does seem unconstitutional.
How can they do that?
Porn is so not only that, you have to like submit a bunch of personal information to get unblocked.
Yeah, in order to get the material unblocked, Rhode Islanders would have to go through a series of steps, including making a request in writing.
Get that
so,
out
like,
of
can
here!
You imagine, it's like I'm just going to say Lamar Odom because I remember he was from like the Rhode Island and played ball there.
He's there for a year.
Yeah, that Lamar Odom has to write in a request and have it documented
but
to view
passed.
Porno.
That's,
so does is there, it Danny yeah, Hurley?
Danny Hurley's legislation.
Rhode Island? Right? Yeah, it's Danny. Right?
You know what? I would drive to Connecticut to hook it.
We're building a Rhode Island comedy pyramid here.
Oh, it's actually only a one-time $20 fee.
Okay.
But still.
But they're going to have you document. You're going to be documented requesting porn.
The state is tracking your porn-viewing habits.
That's hurting.
That's not going to happen.
Can you imagine if you have to list the types that you're watching?
Yeah, the kind you want to clear?
Yeah.
The ACLU will get involved or something.
I mean, oh, my God.
Step sis.
Right. Incest, Drabby's going to click incest porn. Please let that.
Bigger point. Is Rhode Island silly?
No!
I know Newport is.
Newport's really nice.
But the rest of it?
I've never been to Providence, so I can't tell you on that. Newport's the only section.
Tiny state.
I've ever been to.
It's nubs.
It's fine.
You think it's going to be nice this weekend when they have a nor'easter?
Probably not.
Now, last but not least, remember we talked about it, our girl Bad Baby. She's going to headline a North American tour where they're hoping in 3 months.
We've talked about her?
No, actually, it's like 6 weeks. They
it's
think she
the
can
one
make...
that you know the name. Cash Me Outside.
Oh, Danielle Bregoli.
Yeah. Ugh. They think that she can gross $1 million on this tour. It's just 30, I think it's 30 cities. They're all small venues. The one in D.C., this is how unhip I am. I've never heard of this spot. Have you heard of this spot? Did you look?
I actually looked it up last night.
Milk Boy Art House.
Never, ever heard of that.
It's apparently in College Park.
Is it?
Yeah, it's near the University of Maryland.
Oh, you can go see it, EB.
It's a bar, I think.
Right. How did our friend Brett Oliverio not book her to open for Lil Jon?
Doggy
Jams.
You would have gone.
When is Doggy Jams? When is Doggy Jams?
The 21st.
Of what?
April.
Of April? Let me see here. She's free. Because she's in Santa Ana, California on the 14th.
He doesn't need her.
She's got 2 weeks where she's free.
His event is so silly. He doesn't need.
No, but you could add Bad Baby.
He doesn't need that novelty act.
Five Gs? There's something
Doggy,
a banger, I'm sorry.
Doggy Jams will pay more than that, too.
Well, they will, but they don't
high.
Need to.
Jason, this is your favorite song, right?
Oh, it's god-awful.
I despise this song.
Dude, this song is pretty catchy.
Oh.
It is not.
Your poo.
It is. Listen, no. I know you hate her. It's, I hate her,
no,
too.
I just hate the song. It's not
the song
catchy.
Is not bad.
Oh, it's god-awful.
P-O-O.
Let's take a poll. We'll take a poll. 10 people.
Well, I think the poll is proven. She's going to go out there for 6 weeks. She's going to make $1 million.
9 out of 10 people will call and say it's poo.
Old farts like you are out of touch. Listen to old...
Journey still.
Yeah. I'm sure you're younger.
Yeah, I'm just
you're
more in touch.
Actually older.
I'm just more in touch.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Join us right now from Redskin, now an analyst for NBC Sports Network, Sirius XM, NFL Radio, and the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And of course, don't sleep on the Ball Cannon, ballcannon.com. It's our pal Ross Tucker. Good morning, Ross.
Fellas, how are you?
Hello.
Doing great.
What's going on?
So what do you think of this report? Looks like $90 million-ish all 3 years guaranteed for Kirk. A, are you buying it? And B, if this is the case, where do you think he ends up?
So I am buying it because... You know, that's from KFAN, which is the flagship radio station for the Vikings. I mean, the play-by-play guy, Paul Allen, has a show there. So I am buying it. I hope it's true. You know, I'm different than a lot of people as a former player. I don't think it's going to happen. I want him to just go for the most money, period. It's not going to happen. He's going to end up going to the Vikings or maybe the Broncos, probably the Vikings because – he wants to win, and I get that. But, you know, for me, I feel like I'm waiting my whole life for this. Like a healthy top 12 franchise quarterback actually hitting free agency with no strings attached. I want to see how high he can go. I still don't understand how if you're like the Browns with $100 million in cap space or the Jets, I don't understand how you're not offering him, you know, in that $30 to $35 million a year range. I mean, if we're really talking about the impact that the player would have on the outcome of games and wins and losses, I think he'd be worth it. And I think that he would totally change the entire dynamic, especially in Cleveland. I think they've bailed out already because they realize he does care about winning. And, you know, it's not just about the money for him, but I love it. I mean, to me, if he gets that deal that's reported, guys, from the Vikings, that makes me think that he probably could have gotten close to 35 from, like, the Jets or the Browns or something like that. Fully guaranteed would be awesome. Plus, I just kind of like his agent's style. Like, no, $90 million for 3 years is not enough. 91. I want 91. I want a little over $30 million a year. Thank you.
Hey, Ross, what percentage of free agents do you think – go for the highest bidder versus going for the best situation or best chance to win?
98% go for the money.
Did you do? Did you ever have an opportunity where you had to between two or three places and you picked the spot with the most money? What did you do?
Not really. After my third year, I was a restricted free agent with the Bills, and they gave me a pretty decent 3-year extension, and I'd already been cut twice. Spurrier cut me down there with you guys, and then Parcells cut me. So it was after my third year. I'd already been cut twice, and they were going to give me, like, a bigger signing bonus than I got my whole rookie year and actually some legit money. So I took it, and then the only other time I was really a free agent was 07, coming off of a year in which I had been out of the league. So I visited Atlanta and Washington, and the Falcons failed me on my physical, which – made my choice pretty easy. I was coming back to Washington.
What did they fail you on?
So, well, I had a back surgery in Buffalo at multiple levels. So L4, L5, L5S1.
Yeah.
That was an interesting dynamic. See, like, these are the things that happen I don't think people realize sometimes. That was when Bobby Petrino was the head coach in Atlanta.
Right. For a minute.
And his offensive coordinator was Hugh Jackson.
Right.
And Hugh loved me from my first stint with the Redskins in 01 and 02. So I literally called Hugh's cell phone like 2 days before free agency, I was like, man, you got to get me down there. Like, even if I'm just your backup center guard, you got to get me down there. I know what you want. I can help set the tone. I'll get in fights. I'll get after people. I'll be exactly what you want your group to be. He's like, yeah, exactly. You're right. He's like, all right. He's like, I'm going to call Les Snead right now. So Les Snead, the GM for the Rams now, was like the director of personnel then for the
right.
for the Falcons. And so it was hilarious. This is all like in one day. So then he called me and said, you know, we want to get you down here. Coach Jackson really likes you. And I said, well, you know, if I end up getting a signing. And I had called Greg Williams and Samuels and Jansen,
mm-hmm.
and I had them talk me up with Gibbs and Joe Bugle.
Right.
So basically, I don't know, I love my agent, but I spent a couple of days there just kind of reaching out to my lifeline, and I basically ended up getting two offers, and it was the minimum, like that veteran minimum signing bonus, like 40 grand, but 40 grand is 40 grand, you know?
Right.
And I got offers basically because I reached out to Jansen, Samuels, and Greg Williams, and Hugh Jackson, and that's kind of what drummed up like a mini market for me. And anyway, so then Atlanta, they said they didn't. I think that Atlanta, the powers that be there, I don't think they really wanted me. I think that they were like appeasing Hugh Jackson by even bringing me in, and then my back was an excuse for them to be able to say to him,
yeah,
you, we know you wanted them. We wanted them. Unfortunately, the back just doesn't look good, man. Like, I think that there's more kind of behind-the-scenes politics that go on like that than you realize. I was in a limo with Joe Horn. It was just me and Joe Horn, like, the first day of free agency. I was in a limo. I was like, all right, this is kind of cool.
Right.
We go to get our physical first. Then we're about to go to the Falcons facility, and some guy pops his head in the limo, almost like those old Grey Poupon commercials.
Right.
But he wasn't acting for Grey Poupon. He's like, Ross, can you come out here? I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, man, you failed your physical. We're going back to the airport.
Oh,
Jesus. I called my agent. I was like, take the Redskins deal now. Tell the Redskins I said yes now, please.
Wow.
So that's how I came back to Washington and became the worst player in Redskins history to play for Schottenheimer, Spurrier, and Gibbs.
Hey, Ross, if you went to Princeton, smart guy, graduated in, I think, 2000 or maybe 2001.
2001, yeah.
If you didn't make the Skins that first year, what do you think you'd be doing?
Oh, I know what I would have done. I accepted a job with Lehman Brothers.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I already accepted it. It's unbelievable, man. That's why, like, I always tell people all the time, that's why you go to the Ivy League schools. I think I had four, like, you know, Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers type job offers.
Right.
My senior year. And so I accepted a job with Lehman Brothers on Wall Street, which two things that are crazy about that, guys. Number one, I would have been down there then for September 11th
mm-hmm.
rather than with the Redskins for 9/11. When that happened, I would have been like my second week of work. And number two, I would have spent like 7 years working my butt off at Lehman Brothers only to have all my stock options totally tank when they folded.
Oh, that's
that
right.
That would have really, really stunk. That would have been awful. So thank goodness Marty Schottenheimer signed me as an undrafted free agent. That's funny, too, by the way, because Marty Schottenheimer signs me as an undrafted free agent. So I call Lehman Brothers, and I'm like, hey, I got this shot. Can I defer my job for a year? They said, yeah, no problem. You know, you defer it for a year. They sent me a letter and everything. So we went to Dickinson. I made the team as the ninth O-lineman. Schottenheimer loved me. That guy was awesome. Worst mistake Snyder ever made was firing that guy, by the
mm-hmm,
way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year with Spurrier, I'm like starting. I started every preseason game with Spurrier in 02. We're like winning every preseason game by 30, 40 points. So I call Lehman Brothers again to defer it again because I'm always thinking like NFL is just like a one-year-at-a-time thing. And they're like, Ross, like, we just saw you on ESPN starting against the Niners in Japan. Like, you're good, man. Like, we don't need to keep deferring this.
Yeah.
We have you in our system as we offered you a job. You know, you don't need to defer it every year. Just play football as long as you
can. If you ever need a spot, we got you.
Yeah, so you got to play in the infamous Osaka game under Spurrier. How crazy was that trip?
Everything about it was crazy. Everything about it was crazy.
Was that when Werfel went nuts?
First of all, I've never been on a plane that long. Thinking of all, we land and they tell us, hey, stay away from the guys that are missing fingers. I get that's like the Japanese mob over there.
Right.
The dudes that are missing fingers.
The Yakuza.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly. Then I'll tell you something else that was crazy. Three other stories. Number one, the cheerleaders were on the plane with us.
Ooh.
And I think that there might have been some fraternizing going on once we actually got to Japan. Secondly, they tried to serve
us American
food.
So you guys were the sex plane before the sex boat with Fred Smoot?
Wow. Not on the plane, but I think that that's when some relationships might have been kindled, I guess, for when we actually got to Japan, number one. Number two, I think for whatever reason, like, they tried to serve us American food, and it was like, the bacon was raw. Like they tried to do American food, and they did it all wrong. It was terrible. And then the craziest story to me, well, the two other stories that you guys will like, okay? So I get there, and I think it was because we were on the plane. Our first practice there, I'm starting. It's my second year. I'm starting at right guard. First hit of the first practice there, I wrenched my neck, and it had to be like from the plane. So you ever get like one of those kinks in your neck where you cannot move?
Oh, yeah.
So I was dying. So I spent the next 2 days taking pills and stuff and just sitting on the bidet in the hotel room because I had never experienced a bidet before, which is amazing, by the way. Those things are incredible. So that was a new experience for me. But then it's the first preseason of five. I go up to the Redskins team doctor. I said, look, I don't know what those shots in the butt were that the guys would get last year during the season, because I didn't really play much as a rookie. I said, but I need one of those. And he's like, Ross, it's a preseason. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is my chance to start. Like, I need to play, and I need to play well. I want one of those shots in the butt, please. So they went, and they found, they had to, I think the me even had to borrow one from the Niners to give me a Toradol shot in my butt. I went out. Dude, I played unbelievable. Like, I was playing well against Bryant Young. Then they moved me to left guard. I was throwing guys on the ground. I was cutting them. And from then on, like, Tim Helton, the old line coach, absolutely loved me because, A, I played well, and, B, I proved, even though I was a Princeton dude or whatever, I was willing to take shots in the you-know-what to make sure I could play and play well. He was like, this guy's crazy. I love him. And so he loved me for about half a season.
So out of all of these potential free agent receivers, I guess Landry was tagged. But, you know, guys like Allen Robinson, Watkins, Marquise Lee, Paul Richardson, you know, there aren't that many, like, sexy names. Who do you think the Skins should be targeting out of all those guys?
Yeah, probably Allen Robinson. I like him the most. You know, he's still really young. He had some really productive seasons with Bortles as his quarterback. I know he's coming off the torn ACL, but I feel like there aren't that many examples recently of guys coming off torn ACLs that weren't able to get back in time. And he did it week one, you know? I mean, week one, he'll probably be ready for the start of training camp, let alone ready for the start of the season. I like him the most. I don't like Sammy Watkins. That his foot deal is a chronic thing. I would stay away from that. I like the idea of Allen Robinson. I guess the question then is he too similar in terms of style to Josh Doctson, and are you getting something a lot different than you would with Doctson? I also think Allen Robinson probably just signs a one-year deal like Pryor did, like Alshon Jeffrey did, and I think that's why the Jags are letting him go. I think the Jags think they can get him on a one-year deal for less than the $16 million franchise tag. I think they think maybe we get them 1 year, $12 million. Maybe it's at most 1 year, $14 million, but we're still saving $2 million. So I can't imagine, guys, that the Jags would give Bortles that sort of de facto one-year deal they did for $20 million and not bring back Allen Robinson. Like, why?
Right.
Why would you do that? I still think he's staying in Jacksonville. I don't think there's any way that Bruce Allen is going to pay more on a one-year deal for Allen Robinson than the Jags would.
Yeah, you would assume that Robinson probably wants to stay in a more friendly
state.
I don't know.
Somebody hit me up on Twitter and said he really doesn't like Bortles and doesn't think Bortles is good.
Oh, really?
So the flip side of that would be if you're only signing a one-year deal and you want to try to get big, big money next year, you know, do you sign with the Skins for 1 year, $11 million, instead of Jacksonville for 1 year, $13 million, and say, okay, I'm going to lose $2 million here, but Alex Smith is a better quarterback than Bortles, and so I'll put up bigger numbers. But then he could also look, and that clearly did not work out for Terrell Pryor last year. For that reason, by the way, do you guys ever have any insight? What the heck happened there with Pryor?
I don't know.
He sucked?
I don't know. I think he was hurt.
He definitely was hurt.
We don't have any insight.
He didn't appear he like was still, technically he was wasn't still that learning good the
position.
Routes.
He was still learning the position, Ross. Yeah,
and he had a lot of drops.
Yeah.
He did have some drops, yeah.
Just weird, because I remember, I know you guys remember this, but during training camp, every day there was like another freak show catch that he would make.
Right.
I thought he was going to have a ridiculous year.
A lot of people did.
It's actually pretty unbelievable that Cousins had the year he had and that the Redskins were still decent with Pryor doing literally nothing.
Yeah, it was
he
amazing.
He did nothing. You're correct about that.
Right. Less than nothing.
Hey, maybe you should have practiced.
He's going back to Cleveland. I'd be shocked if he doesn't go back to Cleveland. Shocked.
Maybe some more work with the ball cannon would have helped him.
He worked with the jug machine. Maybe he needed the ball cannon because the ball cannon can actually change launch angles, change speed, and unlike a jug machine, you guys ever use that delay feature? You ever press the button and then like let it wait like half a second and then shoot it?
I think so. I think we use that feature. Yeah.
Check out the delay feature. That's the thing that like because every once in a while I hear a dad be like, well, I could throw it the ball to my kid. Well, it's number one, Dad, you have a job, okay? And number two, your kid can actually do this by himself. That's the key, is that they can actually play with it by himself. Look, I was just with my nephew, Tucker, who lives in Bethesda, still raving about it. He takes it to his flag football practices. They use it as flag football practices in like the Bethesda area. So ballcannon.com, I know you guys know the deal, but not all your listeners do. So ballcannon.com. It'll make all your wildest dreams come true.
Does your nephew share your same last name? So would he be Tucker Tucker?
I don't know.
It's my sister's kid.
Gotcha.
So he's Tucker LaManna. So it was her way to kind of keep some Tucker, but you know, even though she went with my brother-in-law's last name, of course. He's a big Redskins fan, by the way. So I'm trying to explain to him the whole Kirk Cousins deal. Like, he was Kirk Cousins for Halloween. And so now he's like, he doesn't understand it. Why won't he just stay here? It's a harder thing to explain to 8 and 9 year olds than you realize.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just tell him to turn.
It's a harder thing to explain to 38, 39 year olds than you realize.
Right. Look, I just tell him he's dead to you now. I mean, because he's dead to me now.
It's all Alex Smith now.
I'm all about Alex Smith, baby.
All right, Ross, appreciate the time as always. You can, of course, check out his podcast, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Listen to him on SiriusXM and watch him on NBC Sports Network. Thanks, pal.
Thank you,
Ross.
Buddy.
Absolutely, guys. See ya.
Yep. He joined us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He's our good friend, and yes, he's a friend of the show. Mike Rizzo, president and general manager of the Washington Nationals, is joining us. Good morning, Mike.
Michael.
Good friend of the show. Good friend of the show.
I like that. Friend.
What's up, bud?
Not only like friend, that. He went further and said good friend of the show.
You know what I feel
like?
Almost best friends. Almost. Almost.
Well, and so it's Wednesday at 9 a.m. and the deal
is... We need
a
timpani or something?
I think he's going to be on with us Wednesdays at 9 a.m. again.
Well, we have an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And we might as well just get right to it. 106.7 The Fan and the Washington Nationals have agreed to extend its 7-year partnership beginning with the 2018 MLB season. The Fan will broadcast 10 spring training games, all regular season games, and all postseason game action, in addition to full pre- and post-game coverage. Play-by-play announcers Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler return for their 13th consecutive season together. And Mike Rizzo is back in the dugout with the Junks. We will talk to him every Wednesday at 9 a.m. throughout the 2018 campaign.
Through the ups and the downs, it doesn't matter,
I guess,
right, Mike?
Still, you still like us.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. The ups and downs, it happens. But, we talk baseball. It's fun.
Yeah,
we call
we love it
in the dugout. Shouldn't we call it in the suite? Doesn't he sit in the suite?
Yeah.
Come on, he's a man.
He's a man of the people, Mike Rizzo.
He doesn't like to go to the dugout. He stays away. That's Dave Martinez's house.
Stay away from the, exactly. Stay away from the dugout.
That's right.
I was just reading that you got a new row house just down the street from us here.
Yeah, say, beautiful. Yeah, glad I was in the paper.
Yeah, yeah, well, what's the big deal?
See, I mean, well,
you shouldn't have told good. Anybody.
Do you furnish it yourself?
I did not tell anybody. That's, believe me.
You tried to keep it on the down low.
Someone found out.
Yeah, that stuff's nice. On exactly. Zillow. Come on. We could probably see inside that thing if we want to.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get some pictures.
I'm just going to go there for happy hour before games.
Mike, no, in all seriousness, so just talking about just being on the station again for a little moment here on the mighty 106.7 The Fan. You know, you're always there, so I'm not sure. I'm sure you drive around a little bit and you have heard the game. Maybe, I don't know, you had something, you were late or something. It sounds incredible on FM, and our engineers do an unbelievable job. I know you guys recognize that.
Oh, it's a great broadcast. You know, it's professional. It's well done. You know, Charlie, Dave, and Dan, they do a great job. Our fans love them. They rave about them. They're you go to Winterfest and all the things that we do at the ballpark. They're one of the most popular people that the fans go up and talk to. So, yeah, it's a great broadcast. I listen to it a lot. We listen to it in the clubhouse while the game is going on.
Oh, do you?
And in the box we have the television broadcast on. So it's. It's listened to quite a bit. It is it's a great production, well done, and it's the fans. It's we're lucky to have such a great production as that in our city.
And to be honest with you, what I'm kind of getting at too is just the honestly, and Mike may not know this is not his business, but being on FM versus AM, it is a huge difference.
Absolutely,
the sound quality. Yeah. I mean, I'm always just blown away.
It's not even close
at the sounds that they're able to pick up, the way it's mic'd and everything. It's just unbelievable to be on FM like that.
Yeah, no question. It's a big up. It was a huge upgrade for us when we got it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're super excited. We love having you on every week. Can't wait. And this season's like no other. Big expectations.
Yep.
You got to be excited.
Like no other. Every year we have big expectations. What are you talking about?
But sometimes you don't. But the last five or six, every year we get super geeked up. But this year is no different.
Yeah, the last five or six, we have high expectations. This year, we have high expectations. You know, we have a really good baseball team again. You know, the roster is a good balance of veteran players and high energy, exciting, fast, you know, quick twitch type of athletes. And the clubhouse is balanced. It got some good veteran guys and some good young kids. So we're feeling good about ourselves. And we're going through our paces now. We're not quite midpoint in the spring training. Things are looking, on pace, and we're getting ready to perform on opening day.
Hey, Mike, you know that spring training doesn't start until the Junkies make our arrival in West Palm,
which is coming in. No doubt.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll be on with you. Don't worry about it. I'll be there.
Nice. Well, we're looking forward to
it. We'll have you in the tent.
Tell us all about the new stadium, though. What can we look forward to with this? I mean, is it everything that you guys expected and wanted?
It's great. Yeah, I forgot. You guys weren't down here last year, were you?
Right. No, right. We missed it.
Right, I forgot about that. Yeah, it really the facility really came out great. It's a state of the art facility. The stadium field, which is shared by Houston and ourselves, it's awesome. But our complex in the back for working out is awesome. We've got 7.5 fields. We've got a turfed a stretching area. We've got state of the art clubhouse, training room, eating facilities, cafeterias for both the major league and the minor league, all in one building. And it's a beautiful, everything you need to prepare for the baseball season is here. It's a facility we use 12 months a year. We have a Gulf Coast League down here. When we leave spring training, our Gulf Coast League plays their games here. We do all our rehab assignments here, extended spring training, all that. And we utilize it a lot because it's a great facility and a great city. West Palm is awesome. They've been embraced both teams here, and the travel aspect of it, guys, I can't express how great it is for the players, the families of the players, and the fans, and it's so conducive of working out and getting a lot of work done in spring training.
I'm just wondering, Mike, when the Jake Arrieta press conference is.
Well, I don't know where. Have they made an announcement somewhere? I'm not sure.
That's why I'm just waiting for that announcement.
Here's the thing. In a situation like this, Mike, you know, forget about Jake, but in a situation where you have a high-value player that's out there, okay, let's just speak in hypothetical terms, and they're not signed yet, and then, you know, teams that are sort of interested in – I mean, is his price just plummet every day, or is there sort of a minimum that this guy is going to? He's so good. Let's say a former all-star, he's always going to command at least a certain minimum, or is his price literally plummeting every day?
Well, I'm not going to comment on any one specific player.
But generally,
there's I would imagine there's a price point for each and every player. Everyone's individual. Depends on. Their history and how much money they've made in the past. And, you know, it's like any other business. You know, can you survive without getting paid, you know, for a season or mm-hmm. two or whatever, or a couple of months, or do you have to, do you need a paycheck every day? So every situation is independent and different. It's a supply and demand. If there's the demand for the player, the price goes up. If there's not, the price usually hovers or goes down.
Mm-hmm. Mike, we are looking forward to seeing you in West Palm in just under 2 weeks, and we're excited about the partnership between the Nats and 106.7 The Fan. It's a great fit, and we're looking forward to the next 7 years.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
Thank you, Mike.
See you,
all right,
Mike.
Guys. Great talking to you again, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
WPB.
We will see you soon. That's
Mike
Rizzo.
Are we
Mike there
Rizzo. Next week or the week after? I can't remember. It's the week after.
It's like two and a half, two plus weeks.
Right.
A little under two weeks.
It's the Monday after the second round of the NCAA tournament.
Right. So that was Mike Rizzo, president and GM of the Washington Nationals. And now we welcome in Charlie Slowes and Dave Jagler, the play-by-play team.
There they are.
Returning for their 13th consecutive season together calling Nats games. And, of course, they'll be doing it right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Fellas, welcome.
Morning, guys. Morning.
What's going on?
Super excited.
Haven't talked to you guys in a while.
We are good. We're good. You know, we're well into spring training. We've talked a lot to each other lately.
Right.
As Dave said, we haven't talked to you guys in a while.
Are you guys already?
We've been doing this 13 years, and we can't figure out who's going to talk first. One of these years, we're going to get it right.
Right.
Some uncomfortable silence there. I apologize for that.
No, it's fine.
And awkward radio is great radio.
When are you guys ready for the real games? Do you still feel like you need a couple weeks to kind of warm up to it, or are you guys ready to rock, get this thing going?
I'm already there. It takes like two spring training games, one double to the gap, one rundown, and ready for the regular season.
Hmm. Hey, Dave, how's Robles been playing? Is he killing it down there?
You know, it seems like there's every game, at least once a game, where he catches your eye doing something, whether it's the sound of the crack of the bat, a line drive to the gap, going first to third on a single or a diving catch. So he's making a bid to try to earn a spot on this team. I mean, obviously, Mike, you've just had on. He's talked throughout the spring that they want this guy to play every day, and most likely that's going to be every day in Syracuse. But Victor Robles is not saying, hey, I want to play every day in Syracuse. He's, I want to play every day in Washington. So he's doing his best to catch your eye, and you'll see it when you're down there. He's a guy, when he's on the field, you don't want to take your eye off of him.
And, Charlie, what about Goodwin, Brian Goodwin? Had that injury to close the season last year. Do you see him right now as kind of the leader for the fourth outfielder spot?
I don't think so. I mean, he's already filled that role. He showed that he could be a guy who can pinch it, and then if you need someone to step in and play, that he's ready to go and can play every day, which either of those roles is something that he'd never done at the big league level for any extensive time until last year. And again, I agree with Dave. Robles is going to play every day somewhere, and I think he's going to be the guy ready that if somebody did go down in the outfield, you could plug him in to play every day. They're not going to have him sit. There are still some things that he needs to work on. When you talk with Davey Martinez, I mean, what Dave said is really exactly what you hear from Davey. You see some flash of brilliance every time he's on the field. But, you know, he's still learning how to steal a base, how to get a jump. One thing there, you know, in the minor leagues isn't a factor is, you know, popping off the base on a pop-up slide where there's no replay in the minor leagues. In the major leagues, if you come off the bag, you're going to be out. So there are certain things, little nuances of the game that he still has to learn. But I would think that he would start the season, as well as Dave said, at Syracuse and be ready to go if someone got hurt. And Goodwin has shown that he can give you a really good at-bat as a pinch hitter, and I think he would probably still fill the same role no matter what happens.
Hey, Jax, I'm sorry, I apologize. I'm not looking at these box scores, these spring training box scores. What have we seen so far of Murphy and Eaton? Are these guys getting any playing time, or is it all sort of hidden stuff, well, BP, that kind of thing?
Neither one has played in a game yet. I would say that Eaton is much closer to playing in a game than Murphy. I mean, Eaton's been doing basically almost all the baseball activity you would expect with his teammates. They're just taking it very slow as far as easing him back into games.
Right.
And I think they're very confident that Eaton's going to be there, you know, opening day in Cincinnati on March the 29th. As far as Murphy, I mean, to me, opening day is very, very questionable right now. I mean, he is ramping up his baseball activity. He's doing some hitting work, basically in the cages, soft toss, tee work, that kind of thing. But he's been limited as to what he can do defensively, running the bases, just getting in game shape. And they're looking at this as the long haul. Hey, if Murphy's 2 weeks late to start, rather he be ready on April 15th and able to play the entire last 5.5 months than try to push it, you know, for March 29th and maybe have a setback. So I think Eaton is definitely ahead of Murphy in the progression right now.
Dave, I know A.J. Cole got hit pretty hard yesterday, just based on the box score anyway. Who knows how hard the balls were hit. But has he been solid enough where he's got the fifth spot right now in the rotation, or is there someone else battling for that spot?
Well, I don't think he has it locked up right now. I mean, I think how he finished last season probably gave him a slight edge going into spring training, but Eric Fetty pitched in relief yesterday, so they have Fetty and Cole pitching on the same day, and that would almost lead you to believe that right now with who's in camp, whoever pitches better of those two would be the guy who's the fifth starter, and if neither one performs well, then you're looking at a couple of guys who are in camp on minor league deals, be it Edwin Jackson, who's back again for a third go-around, or Tommy Malone, left-hander who was originally drafted by the Nationals, traded away in the Gio Gonzalez deal. He's back in camp. So they do have a couple of other options, veteran guys. But I think they prefer that Cole take the job because Cole is out of minor league options. So if Cole doesn't make the fifth starter spot, then either he's your long man out of the bullpen or you're going to put him on waivers and potentially lose him. And I don't think that's really an option they'd like to take. You know, Fetty is the more highly touted prospect. Fetty came up for a couple of starts last year, didn't seem like he was quite ready for this level. But he has looked impressive this spring, too. So, to me, it's down to those two, unless, as you addressed to Mike, there's some press conference with some unnamed free agent that we have in the next week or so.
I would love that.
Charlie, looks like you guys are already on the grind. I only see, it looks like 4 days off between now and when the Nats open at Cincinnati. So it's going to be a busy next few weeks for you and Jags.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't counted the days, but I know that we're on next week, Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, then we have a dinner Friday, then we have a game Saturday, Sunday, and then a game on the Friday, the last weekend of spring training, then we're on our way to D.C.
Hmm. Charlie, so opening day's on a Thursday. Did they do that last year? Because I know usually it's on
no.
a Sunday or a Monday, but it's on a Thursday this year. Why did they do that?
No, the season was moved up sort of like a half a week earlier, something that the players wanted in the new collective bargaining agreement that didn't take place in the first year of the agreement last year because the schedule had already been made. But this is to account for more days off during the season.
Gotcha.
You know, a few more days off. You're going to see probably more Mondays and Thursdays off on a semi-regular basis than had been there in the past.
Well, Charlie and Dave, we're excited about the announcement we just made about 15 minutes ago. The Fan's going to broadcast 10 spring training games, all regular season games, and all postseason game action right here on 106.7 The Fan. And you guys are together for your 13th consecutive season.
It's like a marriage.
We're looking forward to another great season, and thanks again for joining us, guys.
Thank you, guys.
All right, good to be on with you. Looking forward to it during the season.
Yeah, we'll see you in, I don't know, 10 days or so, whenever the hell we're down there.
See you guys.
Pretty soon. All right. All right, boys. That's Charlie and Dave. Those guys know what they're doing. They're studs. 13 years.
They're amazing at what they do.
Right. I love how Jason asked the question that we were told not to ask about with Mike Rizzo.
Which was?
Jake Arrieta.
Were we told not to ask the question?
They didn't want to ask anything sort of specific.
Apparently, he just wanted to talk about the announcement. He didn't really like talking about
vaguely.
His house.
I expect
Mike to send me a text saying, nice question, smart ass.
He might.
I don't think Mike cared. I think it was more the station wanted to just be all about the agreement.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a cool deal. Back on the station. Mike Rizzo's going to be back on Wednesdays at 9 a.m.
Yes, in the dugout with Mike Rizzo.
Mm-hmm. And I think his value is plummeting every day, right, Arrieta?
It has to.
Has to be. Now, it's only going to go to a certain threshold. What did he make last year?
He might sit out a couple months. He could sit out a couple months. You know, he can afford it.
Why would you do that, though?
And then the teams are going to be hot and heavy once they have, like, an injury and they're in playoff contention.
I don't think your value plummets that much if you're a Boris client. I think you're still going to wind up doing pretty well.
Oh, you're always going to do well. But
he reportedly turned down from the Cubs the same deal that Darvish got.
Right.
Which was what?
Like $125 or $135.
For how many years?
Like six.
Yeah.
He was making almost $16 million last year.
Right. So that's the minimum. He's not going to take less than that.
You could steal him, man. Get him for 3 years and
$50 million?
That's a steal.
It is. In today's
day. It's unbelievable.
Based on what he turned down with the Cubs.
Yep. Yep.
It's unbelievable.
And that would crazy. Fit right in there with that nice little rotation.
Yep. I'm really hoping as CK is booking our flights and making our arrangements for our trip to West Palm for Nat spring training, that the woman who was on the flight, I guess from Boise, Idaho, I'm not sure where it was going, traveling to San Francisco, got up in the middle of the flight, started screaming, I am God, I am
saw
God,
that story.
And ooh. Then tried to depressurize the entire
no.
plane.
No, she didn't.
And tried to open the door while the plane is 35,000 feet
well, did they
above
tackle
planet
her?
Earth. How about the captain had to get on the mic and go, you need to restrain this woman with everything you got, because if she opens that door, then we're all dead.
He didn't say that, did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he had to make an announcement.
He said if she opens the door,
he made a major announcement saying, do whatever you can to stop that madman / madwoman from opening the cabin door.
Oh, my God.
Please.
Yeah, but he didn't say if she opens the door, we're all dead.
It's basically what he was saying.
He said.
He didn't say you're all going to die if she opens the door, but I believe there was a lot of urgency in his voice saying, stop her at all costs from right. opening that
How
door.
How far up were they? What was it?
35,000 feet, like cruising altitude.
Wow.
So, CK, make sure you check the passenger manifest and make sure that woman is not on our flight. Thank you very much. I would appreciate that.
Mm. So, right around 7:45 or so, I was in the production studio, and Valdez and Drab predicted how a segment that they want us to do will go.
Right.
And they claim that they can predict exactly how we will discuss a certain topic. Okay. They do it apparently every show.
These two dummies. Hold on.
Give me the example.
I almost feel like we shouldn't do the topic, that they should do the topic they put
well,
in
you know
for
what you need to do?
Put to the, do the topic.
Put your asses on the line and do a little Instagram video or whatever and make your prediction and then play it regardless of how it plays
Next
out.
Next time we will. We did it yesterday. We were spot on when we said we're going to start the segment and EB's going to look at the piece of paper and go, all right, I'm looking at the rundown here. The guys in the other room want to talk about AWOD.
Right.
And that's exactly what you said.
And no one else wants to talk about it.
Right. Well, you know, I don't mind talking about the kids.
So give us the intro for this topic.
So has the segment already happened?
Before you give the topic,
hasn't happened
yet. Before you give the topic, predict our reactions to the topic. Did you already do that?
Well, we talked about it during the break. But what's going to happen is Eric's going to say, that's gross. I don't want to talk about that.
Right.
All right.
Okay, what am I going to say?
Cakes is going to try and come up with some sort of shtick.
Zang. He's trying to work
and
with
some
it.
Zang.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Jason's going to stare silently
check
at his computer
right.
and check out and look up money lines.
Okay.
Right. All right.
Bing, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, where's the bell?
And JP...
I'll give a couple nuggets in the story.
Yeah, we'll give a couple nuggets
and
in the story.
He'll like half-ass go through the story.
He won't have all the details.
Right, he'll glance at it.
Yeah, and then you guys will talk in questions for about 5 minutes.
Right, and we'll make it silly. Did you put that part on the end of it?
Yeah,
we'll make
then you'll get a 10 right. share for
so
some reason.
The thing is, you guys are dying right. to have
tell
this
people,
topic.
This is a dumbass topic.
No, it's for Eric. Deep down, Eric likes this topic.
I don't like this topic.
Hold on, is it the topic that I'm reading?
Do you think I like that topic?
You like dumb stuff more than talking about the conference tournaments.
Well, I don't care about that.
Right. So you probably
go to this one.
This
is gross.
Here's the title of the article.
This is so dumb.
You just have to give me the title. Yes. I believe I can read this and not be dumb.
It's just so sophomoric.
From Vice.com.
I'm not afraid of that.
It's perfect for Valdez and Drab.
Meet the men who have a fart fetish.
So that's gross. No, so they like to sniff them or they like to dole them out?
See, I don't even know what I can say anymore.
Apparently there's...
That's why I check out.
I'm guessing a very small minority of the population
that seems to be growing.
That they're into it.
It's so growing.
The aroma turns them on.
Including
right. Doling them out or like
no.
Inhaling.
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 Other people.
Remember about a month ago I brought the story that actually had to divert a flight because the flatulence was so bad.
Which is stupid.
On a flight.
That was fake news.
That they diverted the flight.
Stupid story.
Generally speaking, people aren't fans, but apparently they have a very small cross section of people. They have a 22-year-old straight man who's into it.
There's not one person that's going to call in and say
they have a 52-year-old gay man, and they apparently are big into the smell.
No, they're not.
Valdez, by the way, during the break was saying
that fake.
He loves when his
wife farts,
which may not be frequent, but he like. Loves
so
it.
You revel in it when that happens?
Yeah.
It gives you glee?
It's like seeing a leprechaun.
Oh, which one? Which Drabby or Valdez?
Topical me. Reference.
No, he's just weird. That's just weird.
Valdez is gross.
That is
well,
gross.
Well, so are you,
funny.
Though.
No, I'm not.
You are weird. Maybe not about this particular topic.
Drab says he's laid down the law. At some point, he laid down the law that neither of them fart in front of each other.
Unwritten code in the Cahill house. We don't fart in front of each other.
But when my wife sneezes and then a little toot comes out, I think it's funny.
It's funny.
You start slapping your knee.
Or do you put your head down towards her butt?
No, it's just funny. It's not like I'm like Manny trying to go around sniffing.
But that's a different thing. You're not into the aroma.
You're into the funny aspect.
You just think it's funny that a girl farted.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just being stupid. That's different than
that's
what
different
he's talking
than this topic.
About.
Yeah.
You're talking about people that like they're
like
getting
it's their
excited.
Fetish.
They're
it's
getting
their
excited
thing.
For that.
Is that odor. What it is?
That's what the growing trend is.
Growing trend.
Well, how is it growing?
Two to three people.
Yeah, how is it growing?
Yeah, explain
it. Give me some numbers.
Who has some numbers?
It's 2018. More and more people are comfortable with coming out with what things are into in
the
bedroom.
All right, I want to talk to those people.
Find one person in the DMV listening and thousands are listening.
You guys are hate mongers and they're scared.
What?
They're not scared. You're free reign here.
If you have one person call in and says that they get turned on by farts,
then
you'll say they're lying.
No, fake news. I'll believe it.
No, but it'll just be one.
But I'll believe it. It'll be representative of multiple.
It won't be growing.
It's not growing.
It might be easier to find a fart lover than a chick calling about her one night stand.
It's one of the worst smells in history.
By the way, it's called eproctophilia.
People who do that are freaks.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
And those that are into that say they're not into...
I saw what you wrote
down.
They're
not into scat.
I think that's more
totally
acceptable
different.
Than that.
That's like what Brett's into. I don't think Brett is into that. He's like next door neighbors to it.
Next door neighbor. But yeah. I think that's a real leap to go from the first neighbor that Brett's into to the next door.
I wonder
neighbor.
If Brett's still into that when he's got a kid and everything.
I don't think. I can't speak for him. How would I know?
I bet you it hadn't changed. How does your fetish change?
I mean, people go through different phases at times, right? Maybe it's just a phase.
I think so.
I don't know.
636-1067.
Do you think Brett buys her like big gulps on the way home just to ensure a good night?
Again, I don't know if that was something.
I think
he was
it was
into
a one or two
wife.
Time thing.
I think that was something.
Oh,
he
I
was,
think you're wrong.
Am I?
I think it was something he was into with somebody that he used to work with, like a long time ago.
No, I think I know who you're talking about. Like it used to be a salesperson.
Correct.
I heard that one of our old.
Dump. You know what? Another bell for whoever gets dumped.
Right.
Sorry, I couldn't resist the low-hanging fruit.
All right, so
well, apparently you can also see solo videos online.
That's so dumb. Does anybody here have a fetish that they're... Besides Lurch, because I already know what his are. Does anybody here have one that they're willing to admit to that's weird? I've said before, I like watching pimples being popped.
Oh, no, that's revolting.
I do like that. And I'm not going to sit there and watch videos all day of the grossest ones in history, but I don't mind a good pimple popping session. I'm kind of into that.
Like you've watched videos fetish? Of pimple popping?
A little, but I'm not going to watch the grossest ones just, ever.
That's
like,
awful.
You know, these massive things that people are exploding. But like if my son or something had a pimple on his back and wanted me to pop it, I would do it.
I would
stay a million miles away. That's
I don't know if it's as weird as what you're clicking on.
Yeah, you're clicking on. It's way weirder, believe me.
By the way, now that you're basically admitting it to the audience,
How do you know I'm just not?
He's not.
I'm just doing a bit.
Well, because I know you.
Exactly. I mean, when you get
like
red.
Like I said, if the one out of four, all odds were you were the one out of
what
four.
What is the grossest fetish that you're into? Like that you
think I'm pretty standard and boring. I'd really have to think about it.
I would agree. Right. Boring. I would agree. Cakes? You got to ask something.
I don't know that I have any weird fetishes like that.
Choking
is close.
I don't know if that's a fetish.
When's the last time you did that? You haven't done that in years.
It's been a while. I can't
be honest.
I mean, I can't pinpoint the last time I did it.
Right.
Not that I'm averse to doing it, allegedly, if I were ever to do that.
Does Amy choke you?
That's never happened.
Never?
Never happened.
My hands aren't wide enough. Look at his thick neck.
Doesn't my... Hey, Bick, doesn't my blowing my nose / deucing fetish count?
You know, that's
kind of wild.
Is there a word for that? Like, is there, like, you know, like you just said, there was a word for, like, sniffing toots. Is there a word for what Jason's into? Blowing his nose and deucing at the same time.
I'll look it up. I'll find it.
Yeah.
You know what drabs is?
What? What's drabs fetish?
No, that's not a fetish of mine. I told him I saw one video and I got a little bit sized. She was smoking a cigarette down below.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
That's called roming.
How does NBC like us?
I don't know.
I think it's coming to an end.
Yeah, you stumbled into it.
Yeah, you stumbled into that.
Yeah, dude,
how'd your prediction go for the segment?
Oh, yeah, this is a pretty good segment.
You think it'll be one of the most downloaded ones?
By the way,
definitely.
Today?
Yeah, I think Doug's going to put it on Best Doug.
You can't download the individual segments anymore.
By the way, how long was that video that you watched? No. Allegedly one time.
Oh, I only made it through about 45 seconds.
Okay. Oh, then you were all done for the day?
We're off for a couple hours.
Was it a menthol?
When's the last time you pulled a twofer? Do you pull twofers a lot?
What do you mean?
Twofers, like an adult content twofer.
Ooh.
Today's Wednesday. I think it was Tuesday.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, Rick.
You had an adult content twofer?
He's got a lot of downtime.
Is your average a twofer?
No.
I don't know about my average.
That can't be the average.
What do you think your average is? Like
1.97?
You're right up against it.
Are you kidding?
I'm young.
You're not that young.
Valdez, you can't. Anyone
is young. You're
you
not
can't
that
keep up
young.
With that, right? I thought.
If my wife's away, I can.
A twofer?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I could do a twofer.
I don't even get it. That's not your current average.
You wake up.
Right.
Boom. You know.
Before work?
No, like on the weekend. If my wife's away, yeah. Then
why not?
Then you hit a college basketball parlay and boom, boom, you get sized.
All right.
And then you go to bed before you go to bed.
Ding, 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 ding.
You could do that.
That sounds like a triple almost.
Adam, are you probably a twofer kind of guy, aren't you?
Nah, short and sweet.
What does that even mean?
He's not following the conversation.
You don't even know how to contribute, do you?
I know exactly what we're talking about. I get sized for the massage bit. That's my go-to.
But how many times?
That's a different conversation.
I'm not. You're multiple. You're crazy. I got stuff to do.
I agree with you.
So he's a one and done.
I don't know how people do too.
So did he just explain to us that's your fetish that you type in massage?
Massage almost every time.
So you like the fake Asian massage videos?
The best part is the girls just getting undressed. You know what I mean? Like I don't care about that.
Yeah, it's so creepy now.
Any follow up from your bad date?
Yes, she wants to hang out this week.
When?
Nice doing business with you.
On a Thursday or Friday.
Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it right away? Like, why don't you do it today?
I'll text her today.
Yeah.
Actually, she legit hit me up as I was sleeping at 11:45, and all the text said was "meow."
How are you getting creepy?
Ding, 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 ding. Where's my belt? Ding, 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 ding.
She was playing with her cat.
She said "meow." That's all it
right,
said.
Right. That's exactly what
woke
it was.
Me up.
Maybe that's what that means.
Yes.
Ice cream cone, meow. Got a whole thing going on.
Right, not a real cat.
What's the name of your stupid cat again?
Alex Who's Morgan.
Cat? Alex Morgan.
He didn't name it.
Such a beautiful soccer player.
Yeah. God, you're the worst.
How many dumps did we have in the segment?
At least
15.
Two or three here, 19 on the NBC Sports Watch.
Yeah, that's great.
Only three.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. All right, are we going to have
our film? You got to multiply.
Five on NBC?
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to multiply by minimum two on TV.
They still like us over there, you think?
Not after that one.
Is that right?
Are they yeah, I don't sound happy.
Is that right? Yeah. That's your fault.
That is.
We just had Mike Rizzo on. You got to balance
things. They like the Rizzo one.
Loved it.
Yeah, this one.
Ross Tucker, John Keim, they already have their best of junkies in place, okay?
Right. We're going to talk about snot rockets next second.
Yes. All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.